Welcome to Christ Lutheran Church. Glad to have you all here today. How are you? Good. And we're not going to do any announcements today. Everything that you need is in the announcement section or the fundraising section of your bulletin, as well as the lessons. That's where the gospel is. You will sit through the whole service. Don't think that you have less numbers than anyone else. We had 15, 14, 15, and now 11. So it's working out the way we thought it would. So one brief announcement that we will have is, unfortunately, I know you can't hug, but Reverend Bill Griswold died about 11:30 last night. Okay, so Nancy's up. Yeah. Yeah, the only thing you can do is give her elbow bumps right now. So no, we're going to be doing for him yet. Okay, so I wanted to make sure you know. So especially for you at this service, if you would communicate that out for us. Since the main service they attended was this service. So you could see we gave him the day off, so he's not here all day. He was here at the last one. He's sticking around to support you at this one. So it's kind of strange not seeing him up there, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. We take a quiet minute to prepare our hearts and minds for worship. You may remain seated for the entire service as well. We continue on page 2 with the apostolic greeting. The grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God our Father and of one another. Holy God our Father, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for self-centered living, failing to walk with humility and gentleness, longing for what is not ours, hearts that are not at rest with ourselves, misuse of human relationships, unwillingness to see your image in others, jealousies that divide families and nations, rivalries that create strife and warfare, reluctance in sharing your gifts, carelessness with your creation, hurtful words that condemn and angry words that harm, and idleness in witnessing to your Son Jesus and squandering his gifts of love and grace. Holy God, our Father, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. In the mercy of Almighty God, our Father, his Son Jesus was given to die for us. And for his sake, God, our Father, forgives us all our sins. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God, our Father, cleanses us and gives us the power to proclaim the mighty acts of the one Jesus who calls us out of darkness into his marvelous holy light as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority only. I therefore declare to all of us the entire forgiveness of our sins in the holy name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray the prayer of the day together. So let us pray together. God our Father, you led your people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to guide us now, so that, following only your Son, Jesus, we walk safely through the wilderness of this world to the life you alone grant. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We also pray the prayers for the world together. Let us pray. Let us pray for all victims of any forms of violence, terror, human trafficking, and all displaced peoples, all victims of ethnic, racial, gender, sexual, political, and religious discrimination and violence, all victims of natural disasters or human-made disasters, all victims of war or warlike activity, conflict, oppression, and strife in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East, including in Afghanistan, Syria, and Yemen. Gracious God, our Father of healing and wholeness, through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring relief in every way you see fit for those impacted by natural disasters, human-made disasters, conflicts, persecutions, and wars. Empower all peoples to reach out to those impacted through the healing power of Jesus Christ. God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we admit our human frailties and recognize we live in a fallen creation. Restore us each and every way as you see fit, so that your will is done. Amen. I want to get a bulletin. Carol Harmon has joined us. Everybody say good morning, Carol.
Good morning, Carol.
We are going to sing Amazing Grace a cappella. I will lead us. There you go, Carol. Got it? We're on page 3 of the bulletin, okay? Again, we're going to sing an a cappella. I know you know the hymn. It's not as nice without Mr. Dunbar playing, but if you turn to your lesson insert booklet, you will find a gospel for today on pages 2 and 3. It's a very long gospel. I probably would have invited you to sit for this one today anyway, so because of its length, and next Sunday's as long as well. Jesus heals a man born blind, provoking a hostile reaction that Jesus regards as spiritual blindness, the love of God his Father. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. Jesus' disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered them in teaching, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When Jesus had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then the man went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." The man kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" The man answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to the man, "Where is Jesus?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. The man formerly blind said to them, "Jesus put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man Jesus is not from God, because he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And the Pharisees were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about Jesus? It was your eyes Jesus opened." The man formerly blind said, "Jesus is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that the man had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who was blind who had received his sight. And they asked the parents, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does your son see?" The man's parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that our son sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, our son is of age. Our son will speak for himself." The man's parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, the blind man who now could see his parents said, "He is of age, ask our son." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man Jesus is a sinner." The man answered, "I do not know whether Jesus is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did Jesus do to you? How did Jesus open your eyes?" The man answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are Jesus' disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, Jesus, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where Jesus comes from, and yet Jesus opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but God does listen to one who worships God and obeys God's will. Neither, since the world began, has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man Jesus were not from God, Jesus could do nothing. They answered the formerly blind man, "You were born entirely in your sins, and you are trying to teach us." And they drove him out. Jesus heard the Pharisees had driven him out. And when Jesus found the man, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him bluntly, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." The man said, "Lord, I believe." And the man worshiped Jesus. Jesus then bluntly said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near Jesus heard this and said to Jesus, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus answered them bluntly, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Praise Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this place of worship that we're able to be here today, one of the few places here in the Tri-County area that's able to be open today for four worship services. We ache with our brothers and sisters who don't have these opportunities, but at least most of them are able to share via email. I've seen some of that going on, as well as streaming online and things that are taped up on the internet, both visual and audio. We, of course, just have the audio. We're grateful, though, Lord, for these times of worship. We're grateful to know that you're present with us, even when we follow state, local, and national mandates for the good of all. But these are times we sometimes see that the gospel tries to get pushed aside, and the gospel appears to maybe not be good news. That has always been so in the history of humankind. The Holy Word has always been under attack by the evil one of chaos. But his power does not overcome the truth that is in the Old and New Testament. We are part of that. We are grateful to continue to be the beacons of reason against fear and faith against fear. And may we do so boldly, and may we continue to share that. We're grateful to do so in your world, which you remain in control of. Chaos and fear have no power over us unless we allow them. Your power, Lord, Father God, and your Son is much more powerful, and the Holy Spirit brings us to that faith. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Great to be with you today. We'll do this as long as we are able. We had 15, 14, 15, and now let's see, we had 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 with me. Moo. We should have had one more, then we'd be the baker's dozen. No, I'm 12. Yes. But she's not in here. That doesn't count. Grateful to be here today. This is one of those times when you say, "Wow, the gospel is particularly, powerful for today." Well, that always happens. It just happens this gospel this day. You hear me preach that all the time, but this one it particularly has some particular teaching in it that I wouldn't normally have touched upon if it wasn't for these highly unusual times. There's a lot embedded in this story. You can preach on the Pharisees. You can preach on the blind man. You can preach on the disciples and what they're doing. One of the things I've never preached on is the parents in this gospel. I may have mentioned them, but they were not a focus of the message, and they are today because of the times we live in. Man, it's uncanny the way God sometimes does those things, doesn't God? Yeah. I prayed for you, and I live this way in faith and reason, and I fight against fear and chaos, always stoked by the evil one over the generations of time, not just in these times. This has always been the case, and it's quite clear that the evil one is stoking fear with these parents today. Step back. Be a parent. Many of you have been and are, or you have grandkids. Your neighbors have kids, and you've got great-grandkids. You raised your kids. You like being around kids. We have Girl Scout kids. We have Daisy Scout kids. We all suffer when one of them has an infirmity. These parents had a child, a boy, who was born blind. And now he can see. They should be doing cartwheels. They should be running around town going, "We got to find this Jesus. Who is this guy? Our son has seen our faces for the first time." They had been living a life of wondering what was going to happen to their son. He is a beggar. They probably were helping him as much as they were able. But if you've ever been around and agonized over this, and I've worked with many parishioners here, and when I was at seminary working with people, if you have a child that or no one that had an infirmity and you start to age, you start to agonize going, what's going to happen to them after we die? We love this boy born blind. But who else loves him like we do as parents? So the Pharisees invite them in. This is a big deal. This would be like the Pope inviting me to come see him. I can't just show up, can I? I mean, I can. I don't think the Holy Father is going to have anything to do with me at that point, do you? Who? Get that Lutheran out of here. They've invited the parents. There's some news out there that this son is blind, but you heard what the neighbor said even. We're not sure if it's him. Oh, how can it not be him? We saw him begging all the time. Some say it is, some say it isn't. The man himself said, it's me. I can see. Let's get the parents in here. And so the parents show up. And what happens? They should have been excited. Our son couldn't see. Now he can. Are you going to help us find this Jesus? We got to find him. He apparently spit on the ground and made some mud and touched onto our son's eyes, and he went and did as Jesus said. He went to the pool and washed, and now he's seen our faces for the first time, and it's so exciting. They live in fear. I have no idea how, except the evil one. Is this your son? Yes. Was he born blind? Yes. How did this happen to him that he can now see? We don't know. We don't know. You don't think the son told them? Son, how can you see this man Jesus, who I haven't seen yet? He saw me. He made mud and put it on my eyes and he said, go. And I went. I can see. They know who Jesus is. But they were afraid. They were afraid of being thrown out of the synagogue instead of giving Jesus the glory. It's the same right now, and it's the same past, and we will see this again. Faith and reason in the parents has been conquered by chaos and evil from the evil one. But Jesus gives us the man. And he teaches us so much. His disciples started, right? Jesus, an honest question. This is what they were taught their whole life. Why was this man born blind? Was it his sins or the sins of the parents? The Pharisees are living under that and teaching it. Jesus bluntly says, that's not because of his sins. He was born this way to give me the glory. These stories are all in St. John wrapped around these individual people like that. Last week, Jesus saw the woman at the well. We didn't have that because Pastor Paul was preaching. The gospel was in there. And she's there at high noon because she's despised. And Jesus knows everything about her and uses her to teach that the kingdom of heaven is hers as well. And he's going to do that again next Sunday. His friend Lazarus dies. Jesus knows he's sick and he lets him die so that he can prove who he is. And he raises Lazarus from the dead. He knew he was going to encounter this blind man, and the blind man was born from birth to give his father and him the glory. The disciples would have been stunned. And so he heals them. And you get this beautiful story of this guy. And you got to love him. Every one of us should be him. He's excited. He's fired up. Remember, he hasn't seen Jesus yet. Has he? He's felt his touch and he knows his voice. So he goes in and he witnesses and says who it is who healed him. We don't want to hear that. And then the parents confirm he was blind. He gets a second audience with the Pharisees. This is a big deal. Wow. The ones who are teachers inviting him back. He could have chosen to be fearful. Nah. Unlike his parents. Faith and reason. I love him. I absolutely love this guy. I got to meet this guy. So how is it this happened to you? I've already told you. And you didn't want to listen. You want me to repeat it again? And then he says this bluntly to them. And he's messing with them. Oh, do you want to be Jesus' disciples too? Because never since the history of humankind has someone who's been born blind been able to see by human hands. And what happens? Get out. They threw him out of the synagogue. He's never been in the synagogue before. If you're a blind beggar, you're not allowed to go in because you're a sinner, or your parents were. He's never set foot in it before. He must have been laughing, going, "You wouldn't let me in before. Why would I want to go now? I can see." And he lived with social distancing. It's not a new term. If he's right there begging, and you get close to him, you keep your distance. If you want to give to him, you do it at a distance. You stay that way, because if you get too close to him, if I get this close to a blind beggar, I am ritually unclean in their day, and I have to go home and stay home, sound familiar, and purify myself before I'm allowed to go back to the synagogue. He's been ignored his whole life, and now he's excited, and he's spreading the good news in bold faith and reason. And Jesus rewards him. Jesus could have gone and said, "Well, I need to find the parents to calm their fears." Jesus doesn't do any of that. We never know what happens to these parents. That's unfortunate. Maybe they made amends. Maybe they went to find this Jesus. I don't know. We don't know. But he went to find a guy, didn't he? First time this man has actually seen Jesus face to face. And Jesus says to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" This man, who had been told he was a sinner his whole life, is full of faith. What does he say to Jesus? "Yes, just tell me who he is." And then he gets this glorious statement, basically abbreviated by me. "I am him." "Oh, my Lord," he falls and he worships Jesus. Jesus is rewarding his faith and his reason and his boldness in face of the evil one lies. And don't think it's not out there in crazy ways. Any of you tried to buy toilet paper lately? This week, a couple of prisoners were here and one of their neighbors, they were outside and there was several people, not just the couple. And one of their neighbors, a guy, came up to them in one of the communities around here, I don't know where. And he was proud of himself and bold. And he said, "Yeah, I got enough toilet paper right now in my house to last one full year." And when they told me that, the first thing came to my attention, because that is a done thing out of fear and hoarding against the goodness of other people who would need those supplies. I immediately thought of the biblical story of the rich man. And he was so rich. His barns were overflowing with grain and his silos. He wasn't giving anything to anybody. And he said, "I am so rich that I am going to tear down those barns and silos and I'm going to make bigger ones so I can fill them with even more grain and then I will eat and drink and be merry." And he dies that night. What does God say to him? "You fool!" If that man dies, I can just see here Jesus saying to him, "You fool!" And then think about this. His kids will show up at that house. And they'll go in. Why does Dad have a bedroom full from floor to rafter of Charmin toilet paper? And I know the answer will be because Dad lived in fear and not faith and reason. Faith and reason also calls us to reach out. I only shop a couple times at most a month, so when I go, it looks like I'm hoarding. I will literally have a cart full of stuff. It's because of my schedule. And by the way, when all this happened and transpired, I actually was almost out of food. So I had to go anyway. So I went to Walmart on 441 on Wednesday. I was trying to let it calm down a little bit. I was going down the road, the side road past Stonecrest, and it winds around, as you know. And one of the first things you come up on the right when you get close to the stop sign is the gas station for Walmart, Murphy. Back there is the Sonic, and then there's the four-way stop, and on the left is the Dollar Tree. And I saw a guy standing there begging. And I swear he's an angel in my midst, in our midst. Last week, if you were here, Pastor Paul preached about an angel that he met in a parking lot of all things. The reason I thought something was different is this community doesn't have a whole lot of people of color, does it? Does it? We have one person of color in our whole congregation. She comes to the first service, Belinda Williams. But this man, all by himself, was a big man, and he was black. And as I was waiting to get to the intersection, there were a few cars there that day. Wow, people were busy out there shopping. I was watching, and absolutely no one interacted with him at all. None, zero, no windows down, nothing. And I kept watching. It was my turn, and I went through the intersection, and I park in that little side lot. There was a turn-in where you can stop if you're getting delivered your groceries to the car, and you can come around and park. Well, there was a spot, and I parked there. And the whole time I'm watching, and there's a line of cars. I got out. There he was. Nobody stopping to even say hello. So I went into Walmart and waited in line, as all of you have done. Got to the checkout and said, I'm not hoarding. I hardly ever get to the grocery store. The guy just started laughing and says, it ain't none of my business. And I went out, and he was still there begging. And because I had to put so much in the back of my truck, I just watched 30, 40 cars come in both directions. Actually, all four. No one saying even hello. So I pulled up to the stop sign and went through where he was standing. And I went into the gas station, and I bought a really big thing of orange Gatorade. And when I got to the window, I said to the gal, you know the guy that's over there? Oh, yeah, I know he's over there. She had seen him. I said, I mean, he's sweating profusely. It's really hot. It was 86 or more. And I said, I want to get him something to eat as well, but I don't want to get, like, donuts or cookies. And she said, ah, it's really cool you're doing that. Get him the trail mix. It's right over there because it's full of protein. I hadn't thought about that. Nuts and raisins. So I picked it up, got it. And as I was leaving, I remembered that I actually had hand wipes in my truck. I never have hand wipes in my truck. It's the ones that are in the kitchen. I took it. I was in a hurry to go that day, and I wanted to read the ingredients because people have been telling me falsehoods about the ingredients in those hand sanitizer wipes. I can't read that without my glasses, so I had to take it with me. You think it was just coincidence that was in my car? So I sanitized the Gatorade and this caramel mix, and I pulled out a bunch of them for him. And I went back and stopped and parked, and I got out and I handed him the need food cards that we have. And I gave him the Gatorade and I gave him the trail mix. And I said, here's some sanitizer. If anybody gives you anything, you can be safe. And he looked at me and he smiled. And I said, this card will get you out of here, off the street. And I left. I gave him $5. People like that, I go to that Walmart all the time, are always there multiple days. I went back the next day because I didn't have my razor blades, so I ordered them online. They had them in the back because they're not able to stock. And I thought for sure he'd be there. That's why I believe it was an angel. He was gone. I said to myself, Lord, I think you were waiting to see if anybody in this community would reach out to that man. Like no one would reach out in person to the blind beggar thousands of years ago. And I might not be right, but what I did was faith, reason, and the face of fear. And people were watching me. Who's the ding-a-ling priest? the evil one's going to continue to stoke the chaos. Christ Lutheran Church stands for faith and reason, not fear. Thanks be to God. Amen. The communion liturgy you'll find in your bulletin. It's on page 3. As I prepare the table here, I'll ask you to come forward as you normally commune, but come up one at a time. I mean, you can stand in line. And I'll, hand you the host wafer and ask you to dip it in the wine or the grape juice. I will do both for us this morning. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, it is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, our Lord Jesus took the cup. After giving thanks, he gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out the Holy Spirit, that by this holy communion we may know the unity we share with all your people in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. You may remain seated, and we will pray the Lord's Prayer. We're not going to sing it today. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. Thanks be to God. And again, you can come forward as you're so moved. If you don't want to commune and would like a blessing instead, I can do that for you as well. How about now? There we go. Thanks, Mike. We continue on the back cover of your bulletin. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ continue to strengthen us and keep us in his grace and the power of the healing Holy Spirit now and forever. Amen. We pray the blessing together. Let us pray. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, "Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord." Our sending, processing out into the Lord's world. Hymn there, you know it well, it's the doxology. And if you would do me one favor, I don't want to reuse the bulletins you have, so either take them home or drop them off only, please, in the basket I'm standing next to. That way we will make sure that we don't have multiple people handling them. Continue to bring Christ to all people today and every day with great faith and reason and no fear. Go in peace. Share the good news. We will, with thanks to God. Amen. Have a great week.